Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. What do you want to talk about first this week?
I don't know. How you doing, buddy?
You doing a good week? 3 weeks and you're not going to know the basic setup of the podcast.
Yeah, you're back, so I don't have to care anymore.
God, all right.
Fearful leader.
All right,
fearless leader. There we go.
It's like just the exact opposite.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. All right, so Raw this week. Anything really exciting happen? I mean, really exciting happen?
No. Is that the correct answer? No.
I don't think so. I mean, it was. You know what? Here's the thing. Because I was thinking about this watching. I was like, it wasn't a bad episode of Raw. It was a
middle of the road kind of.
It was a lot of nothing.
Yeah. I'll agree with that.
Which is interesting because Battleground's not that far away.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Maybe that's us, like, being kind of getting used to having a pay-per-view every 2 weeks. Now we're just like, all right, well, so this should be the go-home show, but I'm not, you know.
That's what I was trying to wonder. And part of it is because they have that Japan show on the network.
Right, and that's coming up before this.
Honestly, I don't think that's going to be much anything beyond a glorified house show.
No, and it just so happens that they're like, wow, this is gaining a lot of interest. Let's make the whole show on the network.
I mean, that's something that they can do. You know, it's like, oh, just set up the cameras, and we got the network to air it on. Why not?
Right, and it's, you've got commentators who are used to doing this anyway. So.
Yeah, which is good, and I think it's good they're doing that. I mean, that's airing at, like, 5:30 a.m. Eastern.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's airing live.
Fair enough. I just figured they would, like, figure out a way to air it.
They said it was airing live.
All right, well, it looks like I'll be watching it later. Don't expect us to be live tweeting
the
fan show, though.
That's the thing. We were kind of viewing this as a pay-per-view, and I don't think they'll really do anything that pay-per-view-worthy on it if it's, like, at 5:30 in the morning, where
right,
you know, Titan Tower is.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, they're still, you know, they made a point to make a big deal about the, you know, the NXT Championship match.
Yeah, NXT Championship match is there. Mm. Brock will be in action for the first time since WrestleMania.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right.
They said he'll have a match.
Technically, the night after WrestleMania, he was supposed to have a match. Didn't have a match, fine, whatever. But he saw a lot of action.
The last match he was in was WrestleMania.
Fair enough. But he has seen some action.
The first time he was in sanctioned action.
There we go.
Since WrestleMania.
I'm all about...
Excuse me.
Words matter, bro.
So, yeah, do you think that's kind of the thing? It's just like, I'm kind of used to getting ready to gear up. Because, like, preparing for this, I was like, all right, I feel like it's time to start doing some predictions again. And then I was like... Not even close.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just a ho-hum episode of Raw, you know?
But it wasn't a bad
episode. No, I'm saying, like, it's not bad. It was just very mediocre at best.
Which makes it hard to talk about it. Because, you know, if it's a great episode, it's wonderful. Because we can talk about this is great, this is why it's great, da-da-da. If it's a terrible episode, you can sit here and be like, I can break down for you.
Right.
Why this storyline is going in the wrong direction.
I mean, Brock legit hurt Jamie Noble.
He did.
Broke a few ribs.
Which is a shame, you know. You don't ever want people to get actually hurt.
But I guess that's something. Swerved premiered on the network. I'm guessing you didn't watch that.
I watched part of it.
I watched the whole thing.
Good for you. Have you also seen an entire episode of Too Hot for TV?
I have seen an entire episode of Too Hot
because I have watched part of an episode of Too Hot for TV.
As soon as you realized that they were showing clips from
that was on TV.
Yeah,
that was also on TV.
See, Swerve doesn't make any sort of bold statement.
That was the Swerve. It was actually all on TV.
Fair enough. I mean, we talked about this briefly before we started recording. You know, shame on us. Mm-hmm. It's PG Jackass.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
You
know, it's think about the pranks that they pulled on there. They had a chair that shocks people.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you had somebody on the red carpet of the WWE Hall of Fame this past year with a microphone that was smeared with some sort of fecal matter from some person or animal, I don't know. And then there was the Hornswoggle under the table surprising people whenever they, you know, lifted the cover off of them.
So we got this Swerve thing. Okay, first of all, did Swerve have anything in the preview that wasn't in this episode of Swerved?
There was like this weird like powder cannon in the preview that Xavier Woods shot at Kofi. That wasn't in there. That actually I was kind of looking forward to. I was like, what? Okay.
Okay, but Swerved is a weekly TV show, theoretically, right?
I think so.
Okay, so here's the thing at this
point. At least for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Here's the thing at this point. What on the network? They have this network.
Mm-hmm.
So what non-in-ring action show have they really had success with? Like, yeah, that. I mean, here's the thing. The pay-per-views and NXT are both good, solid arguments for getting the network. Everything else is...
Weekly content is... I mean, the 24 series is okay, but there's only been, like, three of those.
Yeah, the same thing with the podcasts.
Monday Night War, I guess.
Monday Night War was good, but I kind of felt like I thought it was going to be better.
Yeah.
And
it was very much, like, you know, they get criticized a lot, but it's, you know, the history books get written by the
women. Yeah, that's what it was. It was here is how the, you know, the underdog scrappy WWE took on the juggernaut of WCW.
I did enjoy the rivalry series
of Monday Night War, you guys.
You know, I liked some of the episodes of Countdown were good. Although now it's been replaced by The List, which is kind of like a more lighthearted half-hour version of it.
Which, you know
what? With no specific numbers. Just, like, it's here.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is, like, watching Countdown, every time they do it, it's like, this is going to take an hour?
Fair enough, yeah.
All right, like, I'm actually more excited, looking forward to, like, you know, oh, here we go. I can throw up a half hour on a sort of Countdown list, but...
And, yeah, it just demands a lot more talking heads, essentially.
Yeah. But, like, what would you want, I guess? What is it? A weekly show. Because that's the thing. Is like there is a lot of document content. I'm like,
right.
I'm excited about that. The 24 thing is a good example. The podcast.
Yeah.
But those are like these network specials.
That are very infrequent. Yeah.
Yeah. So what?
I don't know. Because, it, you know, everything comes down to something WWE centric. So yeah. I don't know, like, a WWE, like, show... That isn't in ring. That isn't documentary. And I'm like,
okay. I mean, well, here's the thing. It doesn't have to be a documentary.
No. I'm just saying. Like, I don't know anything outside of that. I don't know. You know, because then you get stuff like Swerved and Too Hot for TV, and I'm not so sure that's a good thing.
I don't want that.
I mean, there's that Seth Green cartoon that they talked about a few months ago.
I mean, that's the thing.
I'm intrigued by that because, you know, Seth Green.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like you want wrestling babies. You know, Muppet Babies, but with wrestling. Yeah.
Which is essentially what that is. And they are saying that it is an adult-oriented show. Beyond that, I don't know.
I mean, that's because that's the only thing I can think of. It's like, I want that, or I want an updated whole, you know, Hulk Hogan Rock and Wrestling.
Yeah.
Kind of series.
Yeah, you said that before. Now, the one thing, and I get why they're doing this, but this whole, like, sneak peek thing that they've been doing with, like, their upcoming DVD releases or whatever.
Yeah.
They give you a sneak peek to where they're interested and you go buy the DVD. I get that, fine. I'm ready for them to just do away with that and be like, hey, here it is for the network people. If you want to buy it for non-network people, there it is. You know?
Yeah.
But, because after a while, it almost seems... Kind of like a waste of money to go buy their DVDs unless you're really into collecting the hard copies.
Well, that's the thing. Part of that, and as you may know, I enjoy the occasional dabbling in the collection of DVDs.
You don't say.
Occasionally tickles my fancy.
For those at home, I don't know how to describe accurately Joel's DVD collection that's taking up an entire wall of his apartment.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. Some of the stuff I have pay-per-views on DVD.
Yeah, from like 2010.
Yeah, because there were two really great deals.
And that's another thing about Joel's DVD collection. He cannot pass up a good deal, which is why you have so many DVDs that are still wrapped in plastic. Not for like safekeeping or anything like that, but just because you haven't gotten around to watching.
Okay, here's the thing. I began this collection at a point before Netflix.
Right.
Like, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And so there was a time where you still, let's take you back to a time where you rented DVDs from Blockbuster.
To the far off land of 2006.
The thing is, like, it would cost you $5.50. Mm-hmm. You would rent a DVD from Blockbuster for $5.50 for five nights.
And then I think it was like $6.50 for games or something like
that. Yeah, yeah. Or if you wanted a
new... That was my big thing. I was more of a video game player.
Or if you wanted a new release, it was a lot.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, like, I would find DVDs, and I'm like, this is a $4 DVD. I don't want to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. I could rent it for $5 and have to get rid of it, watch it within the next 5 days. Or I could buy it for $4 and then just watch it at my leisure.
Yeah, because honestly, like, you're not going to get – back then, DVDs were pretty expensive.
Right, exactly. So – but okay, here's the thing. I was interested in the collecting – in collecting the pay-per-views.
Right.
You know, that's something I wanted to do. And there's, like, to get really stingy on stuff, I'm like, there's like, the SummerSlam collection and the WrestleMania collection and stuff. I'm just like, there's going to be another WrestleMania next year.
Right.
Like, at some point, we have these nice boxes and the little DVD boxes.
Yeah, because you're all... Because you are all about presentation, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I've been kind of, like, going back and forth on how to get this stuff. And then there's stuff like, you know, it's like, if I have everything from, you know, from 2011 except Capital Punishment, then I'm like, I don't want to pay $15 for Capital
Just
Punishment.
For, yeah.
But at the same time, it's the only pay-per-view I'd be missing from the year. So, at one point, the
It shop, really bugs you if you're missing something.
It does.
Yeah.
But I think the shop had, you could buy an entire year. And it was certain years. It was 2011 and 2010, I think.
And I think it was like a couple years afterwards.
Yeah, so. It was the year afterwards, or the year after that. It was either 2012 or something like that.
Right.
And so that you could buy the entire year of pay-per-views for a reasonable price. And so I got that. So I have 2 years of DVDs, which are pretty much useless now.
Yeah, because of the...
Because of the network.
Mm-hmm. Unless they did, like, some drastic editing on the network that isn't on that...
DVD. That's not... But that's not. You mean, there is edits. Like, in WrestleMania 27, Undertaker doesn't come out to Johnny Cash.
Right, and the Triple H, the intro song, isn't Metallica. It's
right.
Some sort of...
But that change is both present on the DVD and on the on the network.
You know what is not present on... My digital copy that I captured on my computer.
No, I remember. But here's the thing. Yeah, occasionally there's some extra stuff on the WrestleMania DVDs.
Right.
You know, but not least, Night of Champions doesn't. Night of Champions, here it is. Here's the 3-hour show. That's it. That's what you get.
Right.
And so that's what I have. And so, you know, they haven't, you know, if they had a here's 2012, here's 2013, and, you know, you could buy the whole year and... I was like, I don't know if I want to do that, you know? And there's this added-on thing where, like, a lot of the big stuff, WrestleMania and a lot of the big documentaries they're putting on Blu-ray, a lot of the, like, kind of cheap filler pay-per-views, they're not even putting on Blu-ray.
Right.
And just, I don't know. So, I say all that to go into the documentaries. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of documentaries that I am going to want to own. A Mick Foley documentary.
I thought you already owned that.
I do own that. Yeah, okay, I do own that. But once I got that one, you know, one of the complaints was, we talked about it back on the episode where we really delve into that.
Uh-huh.
The Hell in a Cell match with Undertaker isn't one of the special feature matches.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And but wasn't that like, because I know that you talked about, like, I think it was a 1995 match with Shawn Michaels.
With Shawn Michaels, the In Your House match?
Yeah.
That also isn't there.
Yeah, they talked about that match quite a bit on that documentary.
Yeah, he talks about how proud he is of the match. But so, like, there's an earlier Mick Foley documentary that does have all that on there.
Right.
So that's the thing, is like, I need to go get that one to have those specific matches. And that's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, I get you don't want to kind of repeat the matches, but, you know, For All Mankind felt like it was supposed to be the culmination
of
this guy's career. Yeah. So that's the thing, is like, are there other things that are like, I want to, you know, the Paul Heyman documentary.
Right.
Yeah, I want to get that. I want to own that. I want to see everything I can about that one.
Right, because, you know, as that documentary is on the network now, any of the special features, extra interviews, stuff like that, is not.
Yeah. Batista's documentary?
Not really.
I would not mind seeing it. You know, Big Show's documentary? Watch it and just kind of see what the guy goes through. And,
sure.
But it's not, I don't need it to adorn my shelf.
Right.
I
will say the last Rock and the last Stone Cold documentaries that they did were really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those I would add to any collection.
I have the Electrifying one, the old Rock documentary, the old Rock DVD.
And I think that one was more like, here's a match, couple of thoughts in between.
Yeah, no,
match.
It's basically a greatest hits album. And same with the Edge's Decade of Decadence thing.
Yeah.
So.
But that second DVD was really good, though.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, is like, this isn't wrestler exclusive. You know, I have the ECW's Uncensored Volume 1 DVD collection. And this kind of thing is like, yeah, but then it's also on the network.
Right.
And so, do I get number 2 and kind of fill that out? Or is it just gonna kind of go find it on the network because it'll be there? Or if it's not there now?
It depends on your interest level as well.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, so it's something that I think they have to think about, be aware of. I was much more likely to buy the DVDs before the network.
Right.
And
same here.
And I don't know what it costs to put together a good looking documentary.
Right. I mean, they space it out quite a bit. Like, honestly, I've been waiting on watching the rest of, you know, the Jerry Lawler documentary, because I thought the sneak peek that was on the network, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
You know, but I know eventually it's going to be on the network, so I'm not really necessarily going to go out and try to buy a physical copy or a digital copy or whatever.
No.
Same with the Shield documentary and the Dana Bryan one.
Yeah.
You know, because like when they brought out the Macho Man DVD, they had it sneak peek for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Then after a few months, they put the whole thing on there.
Yeah. And you know what? As at the end of the day, you know, we were talking about the network. I had to put that, like, besides NXT and besides pay-per-views, because those are worth it. And those are worth it for me. It could literally just be those things, and I'll still be like, all right, this is worth it. You know, the money goes to WWE. The exact same amount of money goes to WWE, no matter how much additional network stuff they have.
Right.
But I would be a happy customer if, you know,
yeah,
et cetera.
So what would be, like, do you have any ideas what you think they should do, like, beyond, like, weekly in-ring stuff or documentaries or anything like that?
I think some sort of cartoon.
Right.
Yeah, the Seth Green thing's interesting. I don't think there's anything bad about doing a kid's cartoon.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like a wacky racist.
Because I know that they put a lot of the, what was that one? Like, those really short cartoons that they originally put on YouTube.
The Slam City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know they put, you know, those on the network as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, you know?
And the thing is, like, you know, you look at WWE films, and it's clear that, you know, somebody, probably Vince, like, desperately wants to make movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How come those movies aren't on the network?
Well, I'm sure those movies have some sort of deal with Lionsgate or whoever.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
But, I mean...
And I'm sure it probably contradicts with some sort of contract that they might have with Netflix or some other streaming service.
Yeah. But, I mean, how much would it cost to do a TV show with one of your guys?
True.
You know, and I don't know, I don't have a grandiose, like, this is the TV show that I need to see John Cena cop show.
Right.
And that's the same thing. It's like, that would probably take up a lot of time. I'm stunned Cena has starred in as many movies as he has while not missing a week of television.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, that's the kind of thing. Is like.
But at the same time, you have other guys who have been used in dramatic exploits that aren't necessarily week-to-week wrestlers anymore.
Yeah.
You know, Big Show takes long chunks of time, and I'm not saying that I've liked anything Big Show's been in that wasn't, you know, Waterboy. But at that same time, like, you know, if he's not going to be on wrestling for so long, use that for some sort of TV show for the network.
Yeah.
You know, or I don't know how busy Edge is with Haven, but clearly the guy has acting chops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of people are raving about the things that he's done with that show. I haven't watched it, but so I wouldn't know. But, you know, but at the same time, might as well use him, and you can market him.
Yeah,
and
Edge people, is still...
And Edge fans will come in droves.
Yeah. I mean, you also, you know, you injure Ziggler for, you know, a month and a half. You can... eke out 5 or 6 episodes of something, like just a limited little short season, a little mini series.
Right.
Of something.
Yeah, something like that would be great, you know, especially because it's a guy that's, he's trying really to branch out more with his comedy stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we like him and everything else that he's in, so you might as well try something else.
Well, that's the thing, and then you bring him back and you give him a little push. Mm-hmm. At the same time that his show is on every single week, exclusively on the WWE Network,
et cetera.
And here's the thing: is like I don't know how much money WWE puts into each show. I don't know what the production cost of Legends House is, or what the production cost of Swerved is.
Right.
And so it might be / probably is more expensive to do a scripted TV show.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, stuff like The List or whatever is just, you know, recycling footage and having a couple talking heads with people that's, you know, in the building already.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you know what?
Same with Swerve, you know, you're just bringing in the creator of Jackass to sit down with people who are already there.
Yeah. But in all honesty... I'm not asking for The Walking Dead or Breaking Bad here. I'm kind of asking for the television version of Knucklehead and The Chaperone and whatever that horror one was where the girl ate the light bulb.
The girl ate the light bulb?
Yeah, you saw that trailer.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, definitely. It was Amy Pond from Doctor Who. And she tried to eat an apple. It was a horror movie about a mirror, mirrors.
Remember? Oh,
and she like
bit into the
apple and
it was
weird. It's a light bulb.
It was weird because it was a WWE movie that didn't have any WWE people in it.
Right, exactly.
Okay, yeah, now I'm with you. Because it had what's the name from Lord of the Rings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. But that's the thing. It's like I'm not asking for.
At least I think it did.
I'm not asking for top tier. Television.
Yeah, no one's asking for top tier for anything that's on the WWE Network unless it's NXT.
So that's just kind of my, like, shot. Six episodes. 6 half-hour episodes of something.
Fair enough.
You know?
Yeah.
Just a reason for me to be like, all right, the new episode. Because that's the thing. Nothing on the show, not even Monday Night War, has ever made me be like, all right, the new episode is out. Time to watch. It's, all right, I got time to kill.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is.
4 episodes of that show that came out since I last watched. Here we go.
Right. And that's really the thing is, like...
NXT's been the only thing where it's like, all right, Wednesdays, go!
Basically, the way I do it is I just... Whenever I have a free moment, I'll go through my YouTube subscriptions, see if there's anything new that I want to watch, and then I'll, like, go from that to the network, see if there's anything that's come on that I missed.
Yeah.
And just kind of go from there, but it's nothing that I'm actively looking forward to, like, you know, at this time on this day... this new show is going to be, or new episode of the show is going to be airing.
Here's the thing. I don't even need to, because I honestly don't watch NXT Live that much. Right. But there, you know, there is a point between Wednesdays each week where I'm like, gotta fit that NXT in.
And it's exciting to look forward to, yeah.
Exactly. There's nothing else that I've ever looked forward to. There's nothing else where I've ever finished an episode and been like, oh man, the episode's over?
Right.
Because usually it's like, well, I haven't actually watched this show in 2 months.
Right.
I have 8 episodes to watch.
And you feel like some sort of, like, you would be wasting your hard money if you didn't at least try to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You would feel like you're wasting my hard-earned money if you don't watch it.
You just gotta bring that up, don't you?
Why not?
So
that was Network Notes, presented by Class of Retired.
Okay, so I want to ask you something.
Okay.
It kind of came up while I was watching Raw, talking with Heather. If you had to go, who is your least favorite active wrestler right now?
On the main roster?
Main roster.
Main roster, okay.
Do you have a non-main roster?
I mean, from NXT, I can't even think of her name. That new bodybuilder girl.
Burr.
I can't think of her name, but the sound of her voice makes me angry.
Okay, who...
But on the main roster, the only person that I, like, actively dislike would probably be Sheamus.
Okay.
Do you have anything else?
No, Sheamus is my answer.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. How would you fix it?
Oh, God, I can't use the Weeknd and Sheamus' excuse again. I don't know, other than giving him more realistic character.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, because here's the
thing.
And
doing something different, because he's not different. He's a heel version of the heel version that he was before.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like,
With a bit different and dumber look.
Much dumber look.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's almost like they don't know what the word gimmick means.
Right.
Because here's the thing. Textbook gimmick is Fandango.
Yeah.
That is the classic example of a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tax man. Right. Or Honky Tonk Man. Yeah. You know, like that is the classic. It's a da-da-da. Who also wrestles? It's a classic gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about people needing gimmicks. And so there's the thing is, like, Cesaro really doesn't have a gimmick.
Right.
But he is so good
that you look past it.
Being good becomes his gimmick.
I mean, the same thing with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
But he's good, so he doesn't need one.
Right, because he...
Other than the fact that his gimmick is that he has a name.
The thing is, like,
Daniel
Bryan did have gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
The super vegan kind of thing was a gimmick, but he never really cut, like, and I can do this because I'm a vegan and don't have a TV.
I kind of remember him doing that, like, once or twice, but nothing on a regular basis.
The Yes Thing is, again, the Yes Thing's a great gimmick. It's this, I'm going to overly celebrate every tiny minuscule victory.
Right, which he, you know, was doing on purpose to just be obnoxious.
Yeah, and so that's a great gimmick. Sheamus's gimmick
is that he's Irish.
Well, at best, giving the benefit of the doubt, he is a guy who likes to fight.
Right.
And...
which is gimmick infringement, because that was Finlay.
Well, here's the thing. So?
Right. No, you're right.
Because...
you're right.
Who on the roster doesn't at least like to fight a little bit? It's the job for everybody.
Seth Rollins?
No, here's the thing. Honestly, the only person you can argue is Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens doesn't like to fight. He just happens to be really good at it, and that's how he's going to... Or Brock Lesnar.
Right, he just does it to bring home the money.
But Brock Lesnar clearly likes to fight.
No. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And same goes for Kevin Owens.
Yeah. So how would you fix Sheamus? Because here's the thing. Sheamus is not a talented enough wrestler.
Nor is he talented enough on the mic.
To
engage our interests from a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because here's the thing. You don't... to be as talented of a wrestler. John Cena is not... I mean, here's the thing. John Cena is, a good wrestler, but he's better than Sheamus. But he's not Cesaro. He's not Daniel Bryan.
But what he has is a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what it is. They just need to find something different for Sheamus to do.
Okay, so but what
not
is that?
Just a guy. I don't know. I mean,
okay. Here, I'm gonna coach you to the answer.
Okay, coach me to the answer.
What is, if you had to say one good thing about Sheamus, his personality or his physical appearance, what would it be?
Bruises show up really easily on him.
Exactly. Exactly. Every fight that this dude goes through, he looks like he went through hell.
Yeah.
So that's his gimmick, is just a dude who can take a lot of pain.
Right. That's kind of more of a...
That's the thing. It's like he just...
Like the guy that can kind of ride the ropes and...
Yeah, who can just keep going. Mm-hmm. He can withstand the punishment forever, because he doesn't actually have to withstand a lot of punishment to make it look like he's been withstanding a lot of punishment.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's like, in all honesty, and I... hurts my very soul to compare these two, but Sheamus is your current Mick Foley ready and waiting.
Right.
Because Mick Foley made a gimmick and built a gimmick off, when he was not the strongest wrestler, built a gimmick off being able to just take obscene right. amounts of pain
so you're
and
saying
just
that,
keep going.
You're saying that with the potential of this idea that you're proposing, he could potentially fulfill that role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, which could, you know...
Because here's the thing. He can look like he's taking Mick Foley levels of pain mm-hmm. without actually having to take Mick Foley levels of pain.
Right.
Because they can't do that anymore. Nobody can take Mick Foley levels of pain anymore. But Sheamus can look like it. Sheamus can look beat down, can look destroyed, mm-hmm. and keep coming.
Right. I don't know. I think there's a lack of personality there with Sheamus that... Just it makes it difficult to really build a gimmick around him.
I don't think Sheamus has fantastic mic ability. Mm-hmm.
He's serviceable.
He is. So I don't think he can do the faces of Foley kind of thing. I definitely don't think he can do like a Dude Love kind of thing. It'll look weird and stilted and forced. Mm-hmm. But a Cactus Jack kind of.
Right.
I mean, Cactus Jack is not a...
But see, that was the thing about Mick Foley is, yeah, he's a guy that could take incredible punishment, and that's what he's well known. He's a hardcore legend. Mm-hmm. But it was also that personality that really won fans over as well.
It is. It totally is. And I do think... I have not found the secret key to getting Sheamus into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But if you're going to insist that Sheamus be on TV and win the Money in the Bank... Mm-hmm. There's got to be something different.
Right.
There's got to be something...
And let's put it this way. Vince McMahon will find a way to put Sheamus in the Hall of Fame someday. The trick is to put him in the Hall of Fame and not have all of us collectively groan.
Yeah.
That's the trick.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like you're talking about, yeah.
I mean, it is. It's if this guy's... I'm playing the cards I've been dealt. And right. Sheamus is one of those cards.
Unfortunately, yes.
So... And I think that's the thing. That's the only good thing in years we've said about Sheamus. In 2-3 years, the only good thing we've said about Sheamus is he looks like he goes through a war every time he's in the ring.
Just because he bruises easily.
Yeah, just because hits show up on his skin.
Right. Yeah.
His skin sells like Dolph Ziggler.
Right, and it's fine because he's a very stiff worker.
Yeah.
Like you hear that from everybody that works with him. So that tends to be, if he's working stiff, the guy he's up against also works stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it time and time again that he's completely fine with that.
Yeah.
As you see all the bruises and red marks and everything,
mm-hmm.
it's not that far of a jump for him.
Yeah.
If they would just embrace it and just not... That would give him a little bit more of the... underdog kind of that vibe.
Exactly.
Which would be great as a babyface, because that worked incredibly well for Daniel Bryan.
It did. Here's the thing about Sheamus. Sheamus was a heel till he wasn't working as a heel.
Right.
Then he became a face and was atrocious.
Yes.
As a face. Just atrocious. Mm-hmm.
And then that lasted... Way too long.
It lasted way too long. But here's the thing. The way he was atrocious as a face was pandering to the audience. He was so bad at that.
Yeah.
He was the things that he would say that he's like, and now you cheer for it. And mm-hmm. you're like, I don't feel comfortable cheering with that assault and that Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
that's really disconcerting. Stop it, sir.
Fair enough.
Here's the thing. I think Sheamus needs to have a match where he is put in unfair conditions and just beat down.
Right.
And that's the thing is like, you know what? You get Sheamus on the wrong side of the authority.
Right.
And the authority says, all right, Sheamus, you're in a 4-on-1 handicap match in our main event. And the crowd will be like, yeah, Sheamus gets what he deserves. Woo! Kind of thing. I'll do that too. It's like, yeah, destroy
him. Full on takes the punishment.
Yeah.
While never actually, you know, giving up, still kicking out.
Kicks out of everything.
And ultimately loses, but
here's not the thing. Without. You make the match uncomfortable enough.
Kind of Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Stop it. Right. Ow,
absolutely.
And Sheamus starts welting up enough, and you'll get that little, like, Rudy kind of thing.
Right.
Like, he just keeps going. And here's the thing. You know what? I fully admit this could blow up in your face. There is a very real possibility, because I'll sit there and be like, nope, I don't buy it. Sheamus is stupid.
No, yeah, that's a very real risk. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, here's the thing. It's like, you've squandered. There's no guaranteed coming back for Sheamus at this point.
Right.
But if I had to try, that's how I would try.
Okay.
So.
I mean, it's great in theory.
Oh, it's totally, yeah. No, that's the thing.
And,
like,
and that's kind of what we've built our podcast on.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, no, I could totally see them being like, you know, doing this. And I'm just watching, and I'm like, gosh.
Because it would just be good if they gave any sort of effort into some sort of character for Sheamus.
Right, exactly.
Other than just be like, you're a bad guy now.
If he's going to be on TV,
go fight and hate on the little guy.
Yeah. Okay, and I kind of liken it to the Brock Lesnar Cena match.
Okay.
Where there was, you know, there was a lot of like, is he actually going to do it? Are they actually mm-hmm. going to get Cena to lose clean? Like, I don't know if they can do this. This is tricky. But there was also this feeling of, can this poor guy not get some offense in this match?
Right.
Like, in Cena, so it's not really this poor guy.
Right.
But it's like, come on.
It's just like, you're kind of wondering when. It's like, all right, anytime now he's going to turn on the Jets and
yeah, it's like,
he's going to come back, all right.
Come
and
on.
And kept going. Like,
another
all right.
suplex, and you're like, come on. This,
right.
Like, they are really taking it to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even the biggest, you know, Cena detractor has to look at that match and be like, they are really giving it to this guy in this match.
Yeah.
Yeah, Super Cena's going to break out, but, like, they are really going all out here.
Right.
And so if you can get me to feel that for Sheamus.
Yeah.
Just that they are really going, they are really destroying him emotionally and physically right now.
Right.
All right. That
so your solution to fix Sheamus is to beat the crap out of him.
Yes, it is.
Honestly, I can get behind this plan. I can really, truly get behind this plan. All
right.
Well done.
Yeah.
I approve. I guess I watched Tough Enough, the first episode.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how to... I don't know if I want to say it's good or bad or whatever. Probably a little bit too soon for that.
Yeah.
You know, basically what they're doing is they're recording, you know, segments of whatever during the week. And then they do a live broadcast from basically the NXT set. They just dress it up. And it looks very slick, right? It looks very nice. And they do the live segments, which are, you know, after everything's said and done with the tape stuff. The judges will, they'll call out certain competitors, ask them to clarify this or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they'll have the fans vote on who they want to keep, essentially. And then they'll do the live elimination and everything. And it's fine. The Chris Jericho being the host, it really could have they could have given it to anybody. It's overly scripted.
Yeah.
Something very, like, uptight about it. You know, there's a couple times where it felt like it was kind of cutting off people to get to a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. But what's great...
Which is interesting because Chris Jericho's kind of had a lot of practice at hosting things.
Right,
like,
yeah.
He's had a couple of different shows where he was the host.
And this is also stuff that was pre-taped as well.
Yeah.
He's hosting something that's live that, you know, he's got to worry about meeting certain or reaching certain marks and cutting off or whatever. But the much better thing I felt was Tough Talk after the fact. It's like a half hour thing on the WWE Network hosted by The Miz. And Miz basically gets to like talk one on one to each competitor still in the arena, still like on the stage with the judges still there. And he can be a little bit more candid, mm-hmm. you know. The judge, and it all seems a little bit more relaxed because they don't have to worry about commercial breaks or hitting certain marks. And, you know, the fact that they've already eliminated somebody, so everybody's
safe for the week.
Right. Even the person that was eliminated was a lot more laid back.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, what else could go wrong? There was some, like, Tough Enough, the show was fine enough. It was kind of a, I don't want to say cookie cutter reality series.
Yeah.
But it's pretty close. Kind of to a reality competition type show.
Right.
Quite cookie cutter. But Tough Talk was a lot more fun to watch. And a lot funnier. Because Miz was kind of a riff machine.
Yeah.
On Tough Talk. And I enjoyed the crap out of it. Even like the reaction with Paige, the go back and forth between Paige, Daniel Bryan, and Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys there playing into it and having a good time with the Tough Enough competitors.
I'm telling you, Miz, just like, with a microphone, man.
Right. Yeah.
There is...
Honestly, I feel like this is kind of his calling. A live show where... A live show on the network, essentially what... Miz TV, essentially.
Yeah.
Is what he would be great at. He's snarky, but he's a little bit more likable.
Here's the thing. Miz TV should be the successor to Piper's Pit. As close as they get.
Should be, yeah.
I mean, it isn't quite, and it shouldn't be quite, because Piper's rowdy and Miz is snarky. I mean, that's a different thing.
And essentially, it would be a Piper promo that Piper came up with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Miz TV is pretty much, here Miz, hit these marks for us, if not full on scripted.
Right.
You know? But I felt like, because, you know, Miz is the definition of a company guy. So you know he's not going to cross certain boundaries. But he still knows how to have fun within those boundaries verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And
And Miz might have some opinions on Tough Enough.
He did. You know? Yeah, absolutely. Because it was a funny thing where somebody like implied that something wasn't exactly how it showed. And Miz was like, yeah, it's reality TV. And then Dana Bryan was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Miz, are you telling me that a reality show isn't what it says it's supposed to be? And he was like, no, absolutely. After being a part of, like, 10 reality series, they're all for real. Like, the real world and all the real world challenges. Totally for real. You know, kind of playing it up and having fun with it. I really enjoyed it. That, honestly, I'm looking more forward to that than I am the actual Tough
Enough. All right.
So.
There's your week one review.
My week one review, yeah.
All right. So, all right, here's the thing. Do you miss Stone Cold?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, like I said, Jericho is there to literally bring in the show from commercial break, lead the show out,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they're going back to commercial. He has – I don't want to misspeak, so I'm trying to go back, kind of go through the episode in my head. He basically has no interaction with the competitors, you know. When they're doing the live segments, it's – the judges sitting behind the table and saying, hey, so-and-so, would you step forward? I would like to talk to you or something like that.
Right.
And then he was like, all right, well, these are your bottom three. He would introduce them. And then, like, oh, and this person's eliminated. And that was it.
Yeah.
There's no, like, because I feel like, yeah, I like the judges' opinions and everything. Yeah. I would like to have Chris Jericho's opinion as well.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that should be on this judges' panel as well.
He's qualified.
Yeah, his credentials alone, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've heard him be passionate about this business before. Dear Lord, like, listening to his podcast when he was just talking about hecklers at the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
you would have thought somebody, like, just flat-out murdered some people.
Yeah.
You know? So, I would like to hear more about Chris Jericho, or more what Chris Jericho has to say about these people.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing. That was the biggest success of Tough Enough back in 2009. I don't know. It was before I was before we graduated, so it had been before 2010.
I guess, maybe.
2010, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was late 9 or early 10.
Yeah, it might have been that. So that was the biggest success of the last season of Tough Enough, was Steve Austin just giving it to these competitors, because it was fun to watch. And he was saying all the stuff that we wanted to say ourselves.
What was really good about that Tough Enough was there's so much of like reality where you're like, it feels like, oh, that guy the audience really hates, so we got to keep them on this show for as long as possible to keep that conflict going. And it felt like Steve Austin was like, no, you annoy me.
Right.
Leave.
And see, that was the thing. All of that Tough Enough was pre-recorded, entirety of it. So if he went to a long rant that kind of went, you know, longer, they can edit it down.
Right.
This one, they're just like, all right, we're going to do these challenges that are pre-taped. We'll let Billy Gunn get in their faces for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Billy Gunn, I think he's going to be kind of the, I don't know. Him and Booker T kind of go back and forth on being the hard-nosed jerk of the show.
Right.
There always has to be one.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have both of them.
That's like, is he going to say it? Because is he going to comment on what they're replacing?
No, you're right. But it's a very, like, I don't know. I don't, like, they're not even staying at, like, some, like, swanky house or anything like that.
Yeah.
They're literally staying in barracks at the performance center.
All right.
I was like, way to save money, WWE. All right.
All right, so big final question.
Okay.
Have we, and we'll ask this every week, have we had our Alicia Fox versus Melina moment?
Not quite, but there's someone on there that just might.
You're like, that's going to be the one that says it?
Yes. It is the girl who I believe she said she's from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And basically is one of the people that will talk 90 miles an hour and think about what she said later.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And then there's a couple of guys that very much have admitted that, like, I'm not really that big into wrestling, you know? Like, there's one guy who, like, he, a few weeks before the show, was at, like, a Green Bay Packers minicamp or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? He himself hasn't said, like, oh, no, I'm just doing this. I'm just saying, like, he's an example of someone that might come in and be like, I don't really like this wrestling thing, you know?
Yeah.
Or at least it showed majorly.
Yeah.
Now, there is the one guy, I believe his name is Patrick, who is all about some WWE.
Yeah?
And, you know, he's in great shape. He's doing pretty good in the competition, or the segments and the challenges and whatnot. And he's all about some WWE.
Alright.
I was like, alright, he could be a future Miz-like person, like a true company man through and through.
Alright.
Well, so there's a few good choices.
Yeah.
For the, and of course they're doing a contract for one guy and one girl.
Okay.
Yeah,
right, that's good.
So they're not all directly in competition with each other.
Yeah.
There is one girl that's completely getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
And that's the one that won't shut up about her fiance. And her getting married in September or something. And even Dana Bryan kinda implied, like, you know, like, people are gonna be mad that that's all you do, and you get, like, special treatment because her boyfriend came up, or her fiance came up to the performance center, and they showed it during the show.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, and he mentioned, like, for, like, a split second during Tough Talk, he's like, and they're going to be mad that you kind of, like, worked out a deal to where you can, like, take time off for your wedding, and everyone's like, I don't know if you were supposed to say that, you know, that kind of moment. Like, I was like, oh, damn, did Dana Bryan just drop a truth bomb? Because he was, like, playing, because, they, you know, they showed this part where her fiance was hugging him and everything, and Dana Bryan was like, later on, it's like, so how long have you guys been engaged? And she tells him or something, like, all right, and you guys are getting married, right? He's like, yeah. Why is there a ring on his ring finger? And, like, she kind of, like, stammered through it, and then, like, you know, they kind of stammered through it on the show, and then on Tough Talk, they kind of, like, pressed more into it, and it was more like, oh, I just gave him the ring. And he wanted to wear it, and he's like, and he asked, like, how many guys on the stage are married or engaged? And, like, pretty much all of them raised their hand, including Miz. And they're like, how many of you wore a ring? And none of them were like, no, not before marriage.
I didn't.
Yeah, right.
Like, I can say that.
It was just, like, kind of weird because, like, Daniel Bryan was really – it's like he was trying to start something or genuinely curious on himself.
Yeah. All right.
That's... Did you watch the competition special that was on the network?
No, not yet.
Watch that as well.
All
right. Because there are some people that kind of came across better on that than they did on the show, at least thus far.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, Daniel Bryan does make some reference on this one girl who's like, you, like, grabbed me and, like, me and my wife are watching this, and you grabbed our emotions, and we were really invested in you, and then you get here, and you're like, where did she go, you know?
Yeah.
And that's TV, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying it. Tough Talk a lot more than the show, right. But it's still good.
Is that what's making you happy this week, Tough Talk?
Actually, yeah, it kind of is, yeah.
I'm going to spoon feed you this one.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, Tough Talk was really good. I've already put it over quite a bit. What's making you happy?
New York's, like, the best, you guys.
Really?
New York's pretty awesome.
Never heard that from a single person ever.
It's very crowded.
Yeah.
If you haven't been, it's very crowded. Every store has about 120% of the merchandise that should be in that amount of space. Like, they're just all super crowded.
Yeah.
But no, it's good, and I recommend going.
Okay.
So we went on our honeymoon this week, and it was a lot of fun. That's what's making me happy.
Yeah, you guys saw a lot of shows.
Yeah, we saw 39 Steps, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
We saw A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, won the Tony last year, was really awesome. And we saw Something Rotten, which is amazing, just amazing.
Is it something I should look into?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Is there, like, a video of a performance?
No, somewhere? No. There's not even been 100 shows yet. We saw, like, the 68th performance ever.
Oh, wow.
Like, it just started.
Okay.
So, no.
Let's look into it.
It was amazing. I can't articulate how good of a show it was.
All right.
But it was the best show ever.
Fair enough. I guess that should lead us to the mail sack.
Mail sack. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's
alright, I just have one bit of mail sackage. This comes from @EvilJackalopes off Twitter. And this is referencing a conversation that me and Joel had on the podcast last week.
Yes.
About how Joel thinks you, in order to qualify to be Superstar of the Year, you have to be on their network television shows,
mm-hmm.
or cable shows, I should say. You should be on their TV shows a certain percentage of the year. What percentage would you say that, just for kicks and giggles? At least 50? 50% of the year?
Go on.
All right. So, Evil Jackalopes makes a great point where he says, so Joel says someone has to be around to be counted, but also phones in votes while he's out. Sir Joel, your rebuttal.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, honestly, touche. Solid point. If you'll notice that got a retweet, I was the one that retweeted that because... Okay. Solid point, sir.
Right.
A well done thing. I have nary a leg to stand on there. Here's the thing. There's not a specific requirement of how long you have to be on the show, how many hours you need to be on the show, what percentage
mm-hmm.
of the show needs to be about you. The consistency of your presence should be taken into account. And I don't think you can disagree with that because the strongest argument for Seth Rollins last year, who was my pick and you're number two,
was
that he's a workhorse.
Right.
Was that he was there for everything they needed him to do, and he just went all out 100% of the time.
So you're saying that if someone isn't there as much, their body of work should be enough to counteract
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it should.
How? Okay.
And for
okay,
Brock, it did for you, and it didn't for me.
All right, because that's how I'm saying. How do you justify a guy who had a great 2014 not be your Superstar of the Year because he wasn't on Raw enough for you?
Okay. Here's the thing. Brock had two moments in 2014.
Yeah, but they were pretty huge moments.
They were pretty huge moments, but he had two moments, right? He had beating the streak, and he had beating John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, he had...
A Royal Rumble match.
He had a Royal Rumble match against Big Show. Big Show.
I believe...
Against Big Show, which I feel like should count against him. And he had a
Night of Champions.
Thank you, Night of Champions match.
So I want to say, did he not have somebody at Elimination Chamber? Because at the time, Paul Heyman was, like, really gunning for, like, Brock Lesnar needs to be your next title WWE contender. Champion.
You can look that up real quick, but I don't think he did. But
maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering things weird.
But here's the thing. Brock Lesnar did not put on an amazing display at WrestleMania. If you remember, and you can go back and watch,
it wasn't...
That match is not stellar. That ending moment is stellar. But Brock was not the epitome of wrestling finesse at that moment. He just wasn't for the whole entirety of the match. The match was clunky and awkward.
Mm-hmm.
He fought Big Show at the beginning of the year. Literally 25% of his matches were against Big Show that year.
Right.
And so he just... Brock went into 2014 with this, oh great, this guy, the guy we were tired of fighting Triple H over and over again. Here's the thing.
Fine.
You look at his 2013 was butt.
Aside from the SummerSlam match with Punk.
Aside from the SummerSlam match with Punk.
But yeah, no, I'll agree.
But here's the thing. So Brock Lesnar, for the first part of 2014,
mm-hmm.
was not somebody I was excited to see. He was somebody that I understood why he would come on the show, because he would pull in the viewers
right.
that weren't weekly. But I wasn't excited to see. It was the same way I felt about The Rock.
Well, yeah, because at the end of 2014, you had that... that was the last time you saw him was the Night of Champions, that match against Cena, which is kind of forgettable.
And so it really comes down to one truly great match. And that was the match where he destroyed Cena.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's like, and that has done wonders for him. Because here's the thing. That, in addition to the fact that I know that Brock has signed like a 2-year contract.
Right.
I am excited to see Brock. I am looking forward to like, what are they going to do with Brock? We're coming up on Battleground. I'm like, what are they going to do? Because, are they going to put the title back on him? Because, you know, it was impossible enough to get the title off of him one time.
Right.
How would they dare to do that? But at the same time, how is Seth Rollins going to lose to Brock Lesnar? You know, it's like, obviously they'll be cheating at interference. Why doesn't Brock Lesnar just punch the interference? He punches reality, practically.
Right.
You know, and so, like, those things, like, I'm excited and thrilled and intrigued with Brock Lesnar now,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't. For a lot of 2014, Brock Lesnar was just this kind of necessary evil
right.
of the product of getting he was a good example of a part timer and all the problems that come with a part timer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, all right, he's gonna go against the Undertaker, and it's like, okay, fine, it'll be just the next guy to lose against the Undertaker. Right. Well, there wasn't a great build up to that match. Because it never felt like, oh, and you can argue that the fact that it never felt like, oh, this might be the year, helped the in moment. But that's the thing, is like, Shawn felt like, oh, this might be the year twice. Triple H, his second time at the very least, felt a lot like, oh, this might be the year.
Right.
CM Punk felt like, oh, this might be the year just because I wanted it so bad.
Right. Before and reality set in.
Exactly. And so that's the thing. It's like, and I don't want to diminish Brock. And you're forcing me into a corner where I'm diminishing Brock and what he did in 2014.
Yeah.
If I had to pick a top 10 wrestlers of 2014, Brock is easily on that list. There's a good chance he would be on a top 5 list.
Okay.
But when you put his year against Seth Rollins' 2014 year and you can pick one superstar of the year, it has to be Seth Rollins.
All right. I mean, we did have that podcast already.
We did have that podcast, but it got brought up again.
I understand.
I didn't and bring I'm it up.
Already regretting it. I regretted it last week.
I didn't bring it up. It was brought up
I know.
By people other than me.
I know, and I regret it. It's okay. I will carry that one in shame and shame. Yeah.
Okay, but can you not see how like?
I get the argument.
Your presence, mm-hmm. the amount of time you're on the show, has to count for something.
Sure. Yeah.
It is not a defining factor. There's not a because you were
honestly,
only on 12 hours this year.
Because honestly,
you just don't qualify.
That was a kind of a factor on why Daniel Bryan wasn't the superstar of the year.
Exactly.
Right. And he, even between the span of beginning of 2014 to the end of, or to, what was it? Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Till that, even that, he was on more than Brock. But yeah, for some reason, we're like, he's been gone for too much, so we can't really, you know, we can't really throw him in there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Brock Lesnar is automatically in the consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a weird, I don't know, it's a weird momentum thing, I guess.
No, it is. It is.
Mm. So what you're saying is Brock Lesnar is absolutely your superstar of 2015.
2015?
Yeah, right now. So far.
Did I not pick last week? Who did I pick last week?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no, I said Cena, which caused a whole other problem. That was
there
a whole additional conundrum. I remember.
There it is.
Did you know it was going to be Cena, or did you just genuinely not remember?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
No, I know. You don't remember things.
I don't.
Yeah, no, that's...
Let's end the show.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, @CRAttire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, that's classroom...
Come on, you got this. I believe in you.
ClassroomAttire@gmail.com.
We're all cheering for you. Go, Chris. Oh, it's my turn again.
Yeah, it is.
We are also
Let's
on
go. We can do this.
iTunes.
A+.
You can subscribe there. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
Write a review. All that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast with metrics and analytics.
And you for listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling. Leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget we're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow us. Easy way to follow the podcast. Easy way to kind of see what else we're doing going on in the world. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!
My time is now. It's a franchise, boy. I'm shining now.
You can't see me. My time is now.
You don't know the whole lyrics.
I don't.
John Cena's interesting.
Because I can't hear it over
you
people.
You Plutarch.
I know. Screw me for not knowing every word to the John Cena anthem theme song, whatever.